He's gone full God Emperor.
It is I, Donald the Great, of unmatched wisdom and infinite wives, destroyer of casinos, conqueror of 10-piece McNuggets, scourge of Chrissy Teigen, defeated only once in battle by my eternal nemesis, Umbrella.
I have great and unmatched wisdom. Great and unmatched wisdom. The only other place you'll see language similar to that is biblical. It's in scripture. Mm. It's references to the wisdom of Solomon, and it's references to the wisdom of God in scripture. He is increasingly showing signs not just of narcissism, but now of a messianic complex, a messiah-like wisdom and knowledge. I'm right. Everyone else is wrong.
President Trump has betrayed our nation's core ideals and turned his back on all that we stand for. He must be removed from office before democracy erodes beneath our feet. I say this not just as a patriot, but as a member of the Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. I represent the Inspector General. And we'd like to go and drag your ass to jail now.
He can't, you know, there's an expression, he couldn't carry his blank strap. I won't say it because they'll say it was so terrible to say. But that guy couldn't carry his blank strap.
This morning, you called the impeachment inquiry bull on Twitter. But jockstrap is beyond the pale?
Trump tweeted 800 times in the past month. For context, Chrissy Teigen tweeted 218 times.
Trump used the word treason multiple times, and at one point he even said it as if he was quoting someone else, a rhetorical tactic he used not once, but twice.
Some people even say it was treason. There are those that think I'm a very stable genius.
Those people are you. You are quoting yourself. I'd say he's quoting the voices in his head, but I'm pretty sure the only things in his head are
alligators and snakes. Ask a question, please.
Thank you, sir.
What about Mr. Biden? What did you want about Biden? What did you want him to look into on Biden?
Look, Biden and his son are stone cold crooked, and you know it. His son walks out with millions of dollars. The kid knows nothing. You know it, and so do we. Go ahead, ask a question.
The question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do about Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter?
Are you talking to me?
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, who the hell else are you talking to? You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
You talking to me? Are you talking to me? Well, I'm the only one being impeached, so you must be talking to me.
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked
you,
sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the president of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you, which
did
was,
you hear
what
me?
Did you want
did you hear
to...
me?
Yes,
ask
sir.
Him a question.
I will. But
I've given you a long answer. Ask this gentleman a question. Don't be rude.
No, sir. I don't want to be rude. I just wanted you to have a chance to answer the question that I asked
I've
you.
I've answered everything. Ask the president of Finland a question, please.
You should talk to the president of Finland. He told me he wanted to tell you how innocent I am. In fact, he was on the call, too. It was all his idea.
Nancy Pelosi hands out subpoenas like, you know, she has to approve it. She hands out subpoenas like they're cookies. You want a subpoena? Here you go. Take them like they're cookies.
Yes. They are like cookies, because that's the way your presidency crumbles.
S is for subpoena. G for your testimony. U is for Ukraine. Do a favor for me. B is for what is B doing in this world. P is for Pompeo and the phone call that he heard. O is for, oh God, high crimes and misdemeanors. E is for Eric, he can't spell subpoenas. N is for Nixon, we've seen this all before. A is for get your big ass out the door. Subpoena!
Over the last 2 weeks, for example, we found out that Trump orchestrated a vast scheme in which he subverted American foreign policy almost entirely to serve his own personal political goals. He dangled a quid pro quo to get the president of Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. He told the Russians in the Oval Office he didn't care that they interfered in the 2016 election, and he asked the Prime Minister of Australia to help him prove his insane conspiracy theories about the origins of the Russia investigation. At this point, Trump is just cold calling countries, asking them if they want to collude.
Hello, Ecuador, do you have any dirt on Joe Biden? No. Do you have Bolivia's number?
Now, if you're wondering why Trump was asking the Prime Minister of Australia, of all countries, to help him dig up dirt on the Mueller probe, the short version is Australia found out Russia was trying to interfere in U.S. elections. And they tried to do the right thing by reporting it to the FBI. And as we know, doing the right thing is not Trump's style.
The New York Times reports that Trump pushed the Australian Prime Minister during another recent phone call to help his Attorney General Bill Barr gather information on the origins of the Mueller investigation into him. Trump was, in effect, asking the Australian government to investigate itself.
Attorney General William Barr traveled overseas to personally investigate the origins of the Russia investigation into the 2016 Trump campaign. ABC News confirms Barr met with senior Italian intelligence officials last week in Italy, and the president followed through on a request from Barr to call Australia's prime minister on his behalf. The investigation into the origins of the Russia probe follows repeated and unproven claims by the Trump administration that President Trump was the target of a witch hunt.
When it comes to this scandal, it feels like someone's feeding me crazy pills. I mean, we have seen the transcript of the phone call where Trump pressures the president of Ukraine for dirt on Joe Biden. But everywhere you look, the Republicans are saying, there's nothing wrong with this call. You didn't see what you saw. It's like that scene in Star Wars.
You don't need to see
the transcript.
We don't need to see
the transcript.
These aren't the
transcript
you're looking for.
And now the lawyer for the whistleblower announced they're representing a second whistleblower. A second whistleblower. They are really starting to build a case that the president did the thing he has repeatedly admitted.
And now The Late Show presents The Whistleblower.
Anyone can whistleblow, baby.
You can make your crime so real.
One can report on your crime.
On Thursday, House Democrats received a series of damning texts that demonstrate how Ukraine was pressured before the president's call. In one exchange, former ambassador to Ukraine William Taylor straight up asks ambassador to the EU Gordon Sondland whether military aid and a meeting between Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky are contingent on the Biden investigation. Taylor says, "Are we now saying that security assistance and White House meeting are conditioned on investigations?" To which Sondland replies, "Call me." They had their phone call, Sondland and Taylor. Then a few days later, Taylor texted, "As I said on the phone, I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign." Sondland reportedly called Trump and then replied, "Bill, I believe you are incorrect about the President Trump's intentions. The president has been crystal clear. No quid pro quos of any kind." That's the way you write a text when you know someone else is going to read it.
This exchange between Kurt Volker, who was his former special envoy for Ukraine and one of President Zelensky's top aides, Volker wrote, "Good lunch. Thanks. Heard from White House. Assuming President Z convinces Trump he will investigate slash get to the bottom of what happened in 2016, we will nail down date for visit to Washington. Good luck. See you tomorrow, Kurt." And that's it, right? I mean, if that gun isn't smoking.
You can't impeach a president for doing a great job. You can't impeach a president for having the lowest and best unemployment numbers that we've had in 51 years. You can't impeach a president for tax cuts and regulation cuts.
That's true, but you can impeach a president for asking a foreign leader to interfere in our election and then being dumb enough to release the transcript and brag about it on television.
Well, you know what I don't love?
What?
Not understanding everything that's going on with our country.
Tell me about it.
Like, for example, what exactly is an impeachment inquiry? Is it different from impeachment?
Impeachment is my favorite kind of martini.
Mine too.
But an impeachment inquiry is when Congress conducts an investigation to see if there's enough evidence of wrongdoing to warrant drawing up articles of impeachment. The first step in impeaching a president.
Well, that clears everything up.
No, it doesn't. Tell me more.
Well, some representatives in Congress think impeachment of the current president is justified because he's committed a high crime or misdemeanor, even if it's not a violation of a criminal statute. While other members of Congress think the Constitution doesn't legally define a high crime.
So what happens now?
It's simple. Six House committees will investigate the allegations against the president and present their findings to the Judiciary Committee.
Then he's out.
No. Then if there's enough evidence, the House will vote.
Then he's out.
No. Then the president is impeached.
Then he's out.
No. Then it moves to the Senate.
Then he's out.
No. Then the Senate holds a trial.
Then he's out.
Yes.
Yes.
But as long as the Senate Majority Leader doesn't decide to dismiss the whole thing. Otherwise, he's not out.
How do we ever get anyone out? So how does the Senate trial work?
Well, at the trial, the president's lawyers will defend him. The members of the Senate will act as the jury, and the whole thing's presided over by a Supreme Court justice.
How long does this whole dumb process take?
Well, the last one took about 10 months.
Then after that, will the president be removed from office?
The president is only removed from office if 2/3 of the members present vote to convict.
Will the president be impeached or not?
I don't know.
If this was Judge Judy, he'd be out before the first mesothelioma commercial.
We just have to look at the facts and the Constitution. Any other objections people may have to the president have no place in this discussion in terms of, is he too cowardly to protect children from gun violence? Is he too cruel to protect dreamers? Is he too in denial to understand climate change? The list goes on.
As impeachment gains momentum, President Trump said he may stop referring to the media as fake news and start calling them corrupt news. And the media says they may stop referring to him as President Trump and start calling him former President Trump. Trump then brushed off any concerns about impeachment, saying, I'm used to it. It's like putting on a suit, meaning it's a massive daily struggle that takes up most of his morning.
President Caligula over here is also arguing that impeaching him would cause a civil war, accusing Democrats of treason, claiming the Ukraine whistleblower spied on him, and calling impeachment, which is a procedure laid out by the framers in the Constitution, a coup.
President Trump ramping up his attacks on the impeachment inquiry, engulfing his presidency, tweeting overnight, as I learn more and more each day, I am coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup.
It's not a coup, it's a process laid out in the Constitution by the Founding Fathers.
This White House is running the Mueller playbook in a very, very, very different landscape. The Mueller probe took place behind closed doors. There really weren't a lot of witnesses. There was a big report that came out at the end. But this is the conduct in question happened on the White House property. The transcript was released by the White House. There's really no straw man to point to. There's no deep state. This is Donald Trump's words released in Donald Trump's transcript by Donald Trump's aides, and this is a Trump-appointed ambassador.
Adam Schiff, he's a lowlife. He should be forced to resign. The call was perfect. In fact, Lindsey Graham said, I didn't know you could be so nice. There's needles and drugs all over the street. He says, hey, tell Vlad I'll talk to him after the election's over. I'll talk to him. She went crazy. She said, we can't impeach him with this conversation. That's a great conversation. President Trump started screaming, ranting, and raving. Alligators and snakes. Skin-piercing spikes. I said, why are you asking that stupid question? What happened in 2016 is a disgrace to this country.
It's kind of a superpower, isn't it? If you can lie to someone like that, to their face. I mean, I know you're lying, but I still find you very plausible and appealing.
It might be wise to keep clean certain areas.
I've been thinking about that. I'm not sure it works any longer.
So what do you want? Tell me what you want and let's get into it.
You don't understand. I'm out. I don't want to be part of this.
Oh, come on.
The last 2 weeks have felt like that scene from Ghostbusters where the EPA guy opens up the containment system and ghosts just start pouring out into the city. In fact, I'm pretty sure I saw the zombie cab driver on TV defending the president the other day.
Rudy, Attorney General Barr, thank you for joining me. As you know, this impeachment farce is growing worse by the day. And now a second whistleblower is coming forward.
All right. Where is the president, Mike?
He has more important things to deal with. He's meeting with an alligator breeder about filling the moat at the border. Rudy, we need to get ahead of this story before it spirals out of control. Did you see those text messages they uncovered?
What? They totally exonerate us.
Really? What do they say?
Well, this one says, I think we should stop texting about the crimes and maybe tell the crimes over the phone so that the crimes don't leave little crime footprints. See, it's all taken care of.
I can't believe I have to deal with this. I'm supposed to be seeing the new Judy Garland movie with Mother.
You worry too much, Mike. Presidents get impeached every 30 or 40 years. Now, come on, relax, have another glass of milk.
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Mr. Vice President, Secretary Mike Pompeo has returned from Greece and is here to see you.
Oh.
Hey.
Weren't you subpoenaed by Congress?
I was, but listen, I've been asking around, and I think that this whole impeachment thing could be really bad.
Who told you that?
Like, America?
Not according to this Breitbart office poll. This says 121% of people want Biden impeached. So.
Maybe we should listen to Mike. After all, he is Secretary of...
State, I think. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't know anymore. My ID just says Big Mike.
Yeah, that's right. The only original cabinet member left is Ben Carson.
Did somebody say my name?
That's okay, Ben. This isn't your job.
Okay, well, I've been sitting in my empty office for like 3 years. And does anybody know what my job is supposed to be?
No idea. Anyone?
I don't know.
Well, even if somebody could maybe give me my password to my computer, that would be great help.
You know what? I better show Mr. Carson out.
But he'll be back, right? We're in the middle of a crisis here.
Oh, for sure. 100%. See you soon.
Listen, guys, we're going to be just fine. We need to close ranks, you know? Like the mafia.
Yeah, except the mafia was, like, smart. They didn't go on Fox News and tell people the crimes before they did them.
Oh, that reminds me. I promised Hannity I would come on a show tonight. I better get into my stage makeup so I look less... While I'm going, you guys should get your story straight, okay? Something like how Hunter Biden started Pizzagate, or how this can all be traced back to Tekashi 6ix9ine. Whatever the worst idea is, text it to me so the feds have a record. I'll be back.
He's probably right. He's probably right about getting our stories straight.
Yes, because even if they're not straight now, they could still be converted to straight, right?
You know, though, the other thing that we could do is just flee the country. There's a whole list of countries that would love to have us. North Korea, Saudi Arabia, end of list.
I'm sorry, who's this guy?
I'm the president of Finland.
Oh, my God. You're still here from the press conference?
Yes. Mr. Trump kept screaming, and then he just walked off. And I did not know if it was over or what.
Yeah, no, you're good. You can go. You're good to go.
Well, I did want to say, the concept of diplomacy is very important.
Oh, that's cute. Hey, you know what? You know what? I'm going to walk this guy out. What's Finland like? I mean, to live in.
It's nice.
Wait, you're coming back, right, Mike? Because if things go bad for Trump, then I'm president.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good. That's going to work out just great. I can't wait for that to happen. And hey, impeachment moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around, you might miss it.
Wow. Looks like I'm here all alone. We'll be right back.
preceding show was recorded at Waveform's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Welcome to Troy, and thank you for coming here. This is Manufacturing Day?
It is, and to come by and see such an operation like this, where MMC is doing such fine work with great precision, I'm impressed by the workmanship here, I'm impressed by the passion to really deliver a perfect product, and, you know, it showcases the importance of trade skills in our society. There are these trades that we need for us to function and to move forward. And so there's great futures here for people who are gifted with their hands and who have specific passion to make things work in a way that's very functional for our society. So it's a great operation.
You've had a busy week or so.
I have.
I want to congratulate you on the Limousine Safe Act.
Oh, thank you. It's that incident hit my hometown so hard. My hometown is Amsterdam, and just about 17 of those individuals of the 18 in the limousine had some order of connection to Amsterdam, and it's essential to move forward, having learned from that tragedy. I do not want their deaths to be in vain. I've told the families we honor them, we respect their loved ones, and we cherish their memory, and this is a good way to do it so that no family ever has to go through something like that again. This was a death trap on the road that should have never been on the road, and we want to make certain we tighten the regulations so that it's all about safety and protection of those who choose to do what they were believing was the safest outcome to celebrate a 30th birthday, and look, they became victims. It's angering.
Can your vote regarding the impeachment, yes?
You know, I think with the president's acknowledgement of what he did, the law needs to be enforced. I raised my hand in oath to the Constitution. We need to uphold that oath. You go forward when you see illegal or unconstitutional behavior, and when it's acknowledged by the person who committed it, you have no choice but to invoke the law. And that's where I stood on moving forward on articles of impeachment.
You have a lot to do with climate and the environment, and
right.
You just proposed 13 bills, am I correct?
Yes, we have a number of bills that we put in a package because we have highlighted the year 2050 for 100% net zero greenhouse gas emission. So we want to make certain that we're robust in our activity to do whatever it takes to build efficiency into the process, to embrace innovation, to have workforce development. Decarbonizing all sectors of our economy is important, from agriculture to manufacturing to industrial to buildings to certainly the efforts that we can make in the utility arena and in transportation. Moving forward with electrification of many of our dimensions of life, you know, charging stations for transportation, decarbonizing even in the agriculture sector. It has to be economy-wide, market-driven, and we'll get there.
I thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Aaron Pednotti, and I am at a multimedia art exhibition in Troy at Collar Works called Feel Me, and I am interviewing Becca Van Kay about her exhibition, which is a multisensory exhibition that involves quilted visual patterns and recorded music. Basically, you walk up and you look at the picture and you listen to the music on headphones, and that involves some sort of device like a phone or an...
I'm just using an iPod for this exhibition. Each piece, there are three pieces that have music associated with them with two iPods. Like, the two that are on the same wall have one iPod. And yeah, then you can just pick it up and stand directly in front of the piece and just be absorbed into the experience of, like, the symbiosis between the visual patterns and the repetitious dance music.
Okay, so you sort of already addressed my first question. The experience that I had was I walked up, I put on the headphones, and I looked at the art on the walls, and the art is typically made of multicolored yarn, and it was this interesting experience in which I'm looking around at all of the patterns that you've woven into the visual fabric that I'm looking at, and I'm listening to music at the same time. And despite the fact that the pattern is static and frozen on the canvas, there is a quality of rhythm. There's a quality of music, and I feel the rhythms of the music expressing themselves through the visual art that I'm perceiving. So that is clearly not a coincidence, right? That's a part of your artistic process. So can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, totally. So that, like what you're explaining, is exactly my intention. That's what I hope to translate with my pieces. So when I'm making the works, I'm always listening to house and techno mixes. And what I do is just get into this trance, essentially, where it's like a meditative rhythm. And I want the pieces to essentially pulsate. And each piece has one song associated with it that I think, like, what you're seeing is representing the rhythms that I'm experiencing with my body. Because I think music is so ephemeral. We have so little language to actually describe how it makes us feel, and it's also so personal. And so this is just my experience of these songs. And so I'm glad that that's coming across in some way.
So how would you account for this process whereby something musical gets translated into something visual? Because if you're sitting there weaving as you listen, there's not a totally conscious, this is how I'm going to represent that musically thing going on there. There's some sort of unconscious translation of the musical rhythms. What do you think is going on there?
Well, I'm totally blanking on the term for it, but there are people who see music as colors. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Synesthesia.
Yes, synesthesia. And I don't think I have synesthesia exactly, but I do. Maybe I like have it on some level, because what I see is what I'm hearing, essentially. And that I don't really have any more language to describe the reasons I make color decisions. All I know is that I have a really strong sense of color, and I have a very loud sense of color in the way that I make color combination choices is very deliberate, but subconscious at the same time. I don't know how to describe. Yeah, it's just like half the time I'll peel off a layer of yarn because that's not looking the way I want it to look, but I don't have any other language to describe why it looks right or doesn't look right. But in the end, I just want to have these vibrations, visual vibrations.
But something in the nature of what you're hearing is translating into something in the nature of what I'm seeing.
Yes.
That is definitely coming through. And that was a big part of the phenomenology of the experience for me. Like, I felt the rhythms of the music in the visual art. And there's something really remarkable about that. And there was also this thing where, you know, different songs that you were playing had different rhythms to them, and the songs were correlated to the particular work of art that I was looking at, and I could feel the rhythms of those particular songs in that particular work of art. So I think that what you're producing, we don't really have a word for exactly what's going on there, but there's something pretty profound at an ontological level in your art. Your thoughts on that?
I think one of the greatest compliments I've ever received, because yeah, I feel like that's present in pretty much every aspect of my practice, like even with the other works on the wall, which are tactile fabric collages, essentially. I think as it relates specifically to the works that you are most interested in, I'm also just translating the kind of motion that I get in, the action of actually creating the works, which is in itself repetitious. Like, I'm just doing the same thing over and over again. And so I think in some way that comes across in the visual representation in this weird way. I mean, I guess a lot of handwork, which is partially what this is, it's like an immediate visual representation of a repetitious act. And that, I think, goes really hand in hand with house and techno because of that persistent bass beat that is just always there, even if you're making other types of creative decisions.
Lila from Athens, New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA.
WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need, and it's either a Macintosh 2011 or newer 2.0 gigahertz or a faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer 2.4 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info@wgxc.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarms WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tim Hunt of Tilson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
Goodbye, Columbus. Hello, Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Indigenous Peoples Day is increasingly being celebrated across the United States in place of Christopher Columbus Day, as the myth of Columbus as beneficent discoverer is debunked, and as the critical role of Indigenous people in protecting the planet becomes more recognized. Indigenous defenders of Mother Earth are often at the front lines of environmental destruction, confronting militarized state and corporate power against enormous odds with courage and determination. Columbus arrived in the Bahamas 527 years ago, unleashing a brutal genocide that killed tens of millions of native people across the hemisphere. Now, as the sixth great extinction accelerates and the planet catastrophically heats up, it may well be Indigenous peoples who save us all. Official recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day has occurred in at least 8 states: Alaska, Maine, Minnesota, New Mexico, North Carolina, South Dakota, Vermont, and Wisconsin. Over 130 cities and counties have adopted the holiday as well, from big cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Dallas, to smaller places like Livingston, Kentucky, and Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, the name of which derives from Columbus, just passed a resolution recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day. D.C. Councilmember-at-Large David Grosso said in a statement before the vote, "Columbus Day was officially designated as a federal holiday in 1937, despite the fact that Columbus did not discover North America, despite the fact that millions of people were already living in North America upon his arrival in the Americas, and despite the fact that Columbus never set foot on the shores of the current United States," Grosso said. He went on, "Columbus enslaved, colonized, mutilated, and massacred thousands of indigenous people in the Americas." Unquote. The movement to replace Columbus Day gained momentum in 1992, the 500th anniversary of Columbus's arrival, with Berkeley, California becoming the first city to make the change. Earlier protests inspired the movement, including the annual National Day of Mourning in Plymouth, Massachusetts, held on Thanksgiving to challenge the myth of peaceful coexistence between Native people and the English settlers, the Pilgrims. UnThanksgiving is an annual event in San Francisco where hundreds travel by boat to Alcatraz Island, once the site of a notorious prison, for a sunrise ceremony. Native American activists occupied the island 50 years ago to protest the plight of indigenous peoples in the United States. Across the Americas, indigenous communities are standing up against unrestrained exploitation of their land, extractive industries, violence, and racism. In Ecuador, indigenous-led protests against International Monetary Fund-imposed austerity measures, as well as against ongoing oil extraction and mining, have forced President Lenin Moreno to relocate his government from Quito to the city of Guayaquil. Ecuadorian law professor David Cordero Heredia described the role of indigenous activism on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
Indigenous people are offering us an alternative, a sustainable alternative of living. They want to protect their jungles, they want to protect their territories, and that is the message that they have to the world.
Indigenous tribes in the Amazon in Brazil are confronting racist government policies as well as the life-threatening forest fires largely set on purpose with the blessings of President Jair Bolsonaro. The indigenous rights group Survival International said the president, quote, wants to open up indigenous territories across Brazil to loggers, miners, and ranchers. He doesn't care how many indigenous people die in the process and has openly expressed his racist contempt for them on many occasions, Survival International said. As she makes her way across North America, 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg spent this week visiting indigenous youth activists in the Dakotas, on the Pine Ridge Reservation and on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, where hundreds of tribes gathered in 2016-2017 to oppose the Dakota Access Pipeline. In his first days of office, President Donald Trump greenlighted both the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Keystone XL Pipeline. In a video produced by the Lakota People's Law Project urging Congress to stop the Keystone XL, Takata Iron Eyes, also 16 years old, standing next to Greta, said,
Indigenous peoples have been on the front lines of the climate crisis, and we know how to live in balance with the earth. And so when we're talking about solutions, we have to include Indigenous peoples in the conversation. So let's protect our Indigenous peoples, their rights, their communities, their way of life, because that's what we're going to need when we go into this battle.
Columbus was a native of Genoa, Italy. But the movement to rename Columbus Day is not a slight against the Italian-American community. It's a denunciation of genocide and a celebration of indigenous peoples and their central role in our history and in our future. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.